Moment. I'm Lori Wall. Sometimes the best way to be an adult is simply by not being a jerk. Andy Boyle is the author of Adulthood for Beginners, All the Life Secrets Nobody Bothered to Tell You. He's a writer, he's a comedian, he's an expert, just ask him. And he's coming to Sioux Falls Sunday, May 21st at 2 p.m. for the Reach a Reader Afternoon of Storytelling. You'll also have some local storytellers, Jacqueline Palfy Clement, Abby Bischoff, and others are going to join Boyle for the event, sharing stories of the best and worst life advice they've received. Andy Boyle joins us now. Andy, welcome to In the Moment.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is a book that begins, really, as so many books begin today, with a blog post and a story. Tell me how you ended up writing this book, Adulthood for Beginners.
Yeah, so I wrote this blog post about a year and a half ago about what I had learned at that point not drinking for 2 years. And I just kind of went through, here's some of the stuff that I, you know, discovered. Here's some things that I found out about myself and others. And I just tried to write this thing like in 15, 20 minutes. Next thing I know, it kind of blew up. It was all over the internet. I reran it in a couple of newspapers and on the Today Show website. And throughout all of this, an editor at a Penguin Random House imprint reached out and was like, hey, I like your writing. Is there a book in you? And it turns out there was.
And you said, sure. Yeah. I've got all this extra time from not drinking. I can now write a book, right? All right.
Exactly.
So let's talk about the original blog post and what you really learned from just, you know, completely sort of walking away from that lifestyle. What did you have more time for and what became more clear to you?
I think one of the big things was because, you know, I wasn't going to, you know, the bar occasionally after work and having one or two beers with my coworkers or friends, I would get home and I wouldn't be as tired. And so all of these things I wanted to be doing, like working on, you know, writing screenplays for fun or working on novels or reading more or going, you know, trying to get healthier, all of these things I suddenly had a lot more free time for. And more importantly, I wasn't going home and feeling really tired. And so I think that really helped as well. Another thing I learned is I was able to set goals and actually try to achieve a lot more things than I was doing beforehand.
One of the, chapter headlines here, and I'll have to paraphrase since we're on the radio, but I'm going to say jerk. Why do we act like jerks? That's not the word you use in the book, but and how not to act like a jerk. And why are people acting like jerks? And what does it mean? And you have a lot of insight about that, just sort of dealing with this sort of notion of, you know, I don't know, just kind of walking around being a bad person or seeing other people who are frustrating.
Yeah, I think part of it is a lot of times we act out of insecurity. Mm-hmm. And especially when I was a younger person, I would, you know, you put others down to raise yourself up, to sometimes make up for the lack of respect you have for yourself, or you feel like you have a lack of talent or anything like that. And I think that's just kind of like a normal thing that a lot of folks go through until you actually start to get a lot more belief in yourself. And so I think that's one of the big reasons why people act like jerks. It's also because they're hurting. Like when someone's a bully, when someone's mean, when someone lashes out, there's usually something inside of them that's making them do that. And I, as I got older and I realized that's a lot of times why I was doing that. I was hurting. There were things inside of me that I wasn't working on. And then once I started to work on those things and also start to feel better about myself, the need or want to lash out kind of just faded away.
Hmm. This is a different book of advice for people who are sort of, you know, becoming adults now than would have been written 20 years ago, 50 years ago. What are some of the things that you think have changed about, young adults sort of approaching adulthood for the first time?
I think so much of what has changed is a lot of has been brought on by technology. So many folks who are, you know, just people who are graduating high school right now, they're so much more knowledgeable. They have so many more tools and social media things and all this other stuff at their disposal. Not to mention, they're more distracted. I mean, our just how advertising and everything else works, people's attention spans have dropped. So we've made a little bit of that harder, and they have all these tools that they're kind of told that they have to be great at. So that's partially there. And I also just think it's because of social media and because of a lot of that stuff, it can really help or hurt people's self-esteem. And so that's a whole different thing that I wasn't having to deal with when I was younger.
Stop saying adulting. Stop saying hipster. A few don'ts. Don't do this. Do this. You know, why not say adulting anymore? Why get rid of the word hipster?
So for adulting, my big thing is you are an adult, either you think you are or not. And one of the things about that is I think sometimes folks try to downplay their successes. And so it's like, yeah, you went to the bank and you set up a checking account and you deposited some checks. I just think you're just being a good person. But like if you try to throw it in this, oh, I'm just adulting, I think the subtext is I'm actually an idiot and I don't know what I'm doing. When I would say, no, you're doing great. You're doing awesome. And my big thing about the word hipster, and of course anyone who complains about the word hipster is by their labeled as such, my big thing about that is a lot of times we use that word, again, to attack others. And usually what it means is that person is dressed cool and I don't like it. And I think that is usually a silly reason to dislike somebody. Now, if you're calling them that because they're being pretentious, well, then we have another word for that, which is pretentious.
And please tell me why you love Nickelback fans so much. We're just going to have some fun here.
Yeah, I think Nickelback fans are amazing because they're just like the standard butt of jokes. If somebody wants to make fun of somebody, they'll also go, and I bet you like Nickelback. When in reality, this is a group of people that love a band so much that is for whatever reason disliked and hated, and they still go, I'm going to go see these people live. I'm going to buy their CDs. I'm going to love them because I love this music. And I think that's awesome. And I think that we have a lot to learn from people who are different from us. So it's like, even though somebody likes Nickelback, well, you're both humans. You both probably like music. You have a lot in common. And more importantly, it's awesome that people still like music.
Are we especially, you know, prone to sort of holding music above each other's heads as a notion of superiority?
I think so. And I think a lot of that just goes back to it's a method of bullying. It's a method of being cool. You can't be cool unless there's a group that's uncool. Mm-hmm. And as I've gotten older, the more I've kind of realized we're all pretty cool in our own unique ways. And none of that makes us better than anyone else.
If you're just tuning in, my guest, Andy Boyle, he's the author of Adulthood for Beginners. It's a life advice guide geared toward graduates, millennials, and those trying to understand them. You can see him May 21st, 2 p.m. Central Time for the Reach Your Reader Afternoon of Storytelling in Sioux Falls. Andy, I want to talk about privilege because throughout this book, that is an important theme that keeps coming up again and again. When did you start thinking about your own privilege in the context of the world that we live in today?
I think it was probably about 4 or 5 years ago when I just kind of realized how lucky and fortunate I am. I had two loving parents who had both had great jobs, who instilled a sense of learning. I rarely wanted for anything. And also they pushed a strong work ethic into me. And not everyone is lucky enough to be able to have that sort of stuff. And I also went to a relatively good high school. I went to a relatively good college. I had all these opportunities that not a lot of people have. Because of that, I know that I see the world a little bit differently, and I know that I've been given probably a leg up in some of those respects. And so a lot of times in the book, I try to point out some of this stuff could be because of that. So that could be why it works for me, and that I'm trying to make sure that you know that I'm aware that could be the reason why some of this success happens.
How does that change how you look at your own success? Does it make you approach it differently or just be more appreciative of it or reach out to others? Like, how does that play out?
I think what I want to do is, like, I know that some of this success is definitely because of my hard work. Some of it is random happenstance. Some of it is because the cards were kind of already in my favor. And because of that, I feel like it's my responsibility to try to help others who may not be as fortunate, which is why I do, a lot of speaking, why I wrote this book. You know, I teach at a local college. I do workshops. I do a lot of stuff just to try to give back to the community because I think that's what you should do. And I was raised to be told that if you are very successful, you should try to help others as much as possible.
What are your hopes for this book? Obviously, it's a great choice to give to a new graduate. How far can it really reach? Does it speak out to those of us who've been adults for a while, but maybe need to hear some of the basics still?
I think it could be helpful for anyone. I've heard from people young and old who've said they've learned a lot from it. I get about an email or two every day from younger people who read it, and they're just like, it's so helpful. Thank you for writing this. But more importantly, I just really hope that it's able to help somebody. And if it can, at the very least, make them laugh or make them smile or maybe forget about their troubles, then I will feel like the book has been a complete success.
What's in there for parents? What can parents learn about what it's like to be a young adult today just from looking through the book and reading some well-placed chapters?
I think a lot of folks, as you get older, you kind of forget some of the problems that you had when you were younger, because you now have this fancy thing called wisdom. And us younger folks don't necessarily have that wisdom. So sometimes you're a little far removed from the problems of the average younger person. And so I think by reading this, adults can be able to go, these must actually be problems that folks are facing. I mean, the main reason I wrote this book is I wish this book existed when I was 22 and I was entering the world after college. Mm-hmm. And so these are actual problems that I had to deal with. And that's kind of how I, you know, went through the book and decided what sort of advice I wanted to try to give. This is all stuff I wish I knew. And so by reading this book, you'll kind of get a picture of what younger folks are having to deal with.
How would it have changed your life at 22 to have, you know, for example, the section on dating awesomeness at your fingertips?
Yeah, I think one of the big things is I would have been much more empathetic toward everyone around me. I think I would have had a much more positive outlook on life. I think I would have definitely been better at dealing with my bosses, because when I was younger, I thought I knew everything. And then I had some time to actually learn, oh, no, I definitely do not. And I think that definitely helped me in the work world as well as in dating and health and all of these other areas.
Your boss is not your parents. Don't ask them how to change a tire. Something
exactly.
That young people need to be told.
Yes.
All right. The book is called Adulthood for Beginners, All the Life Secrets Nobody Bothered to Tell You. The author, Andy Boyle, comedian, author, expert. He's going to be in Sioux Falls Sunday, May 21st at 2 p.m. And that's for the Reach a Reader Afternoon of Storytelling. That's on Minnesota Avenue at the lower level of Canfield Interiors, in case you didn't know. Others joining him from Sioux Falls and the local area, sharing stories of the best and worst life advice they've received. Andy, do you want to leave us with some of the best or worst life advice you've ever received?
The best advice that nobody gave me is, Whenever you have the opportunity, use the restroom, because you never know when you're going to have to go.
Worst advice you've ever received? Advice that you should just plain old ignore?
Worst advice is probably, you don't need to use the restroom. You can hold it.
All right. We're going to take a two-minute break, so now's your time to use the restroom. Andy Boyle, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate your time. Enjoy the book. It's a lot of fun.
Thank you so much for having me.